A63, number 24B.
Pico on, line 28. When we are awake, well, isn't that the same theme? You see, that's what I call a theme, a subject. Huh? When somebody is talking to me over four, five paragraphs, always about the same thing, namely, what is the dream stuff? What is the sleeping stuff? What is that what we see when you close your eyes or open your eyes, when you sleep and when you are awake and so on? Isn't that the theme? Huh? See, that's what I call a theme. Huh? You are constantly talking around that thing. So when we are awake, we dream. We still dream. We dream of the pains and pleasure of matter. That's what she wants to bring out now. That if we are actually asleep, perhaps we have no consciousness of the five physical senses. We are fast asleep and we have those wonderful, nice sleep where nothing bothers us. Or then we dream. And suddenly the five corporeal senses seem to testify to something that is not there. So that beautiful waterfall, 40,000 feet falls down. It's not there, but we dream it and we see it and we hear how the roaring of it, you say the roaring of it, is that the right term? See, so it says, but it's not there. What then is that whole thing? It's just one great illusion. Huh? It's therefore dependent on your state of consciousness, what you see. Not the physical senses sees, but your consciousness sees. And so, we dream in the daydream that we have a body that gives us pain. Just as we can dream in our dreams, when we are absolutely healthy and happy, we can dream that we have pain. So what's the difference between the sleep dream and the daydream? She says there is no difference because there is actually no pain or pleasure in matter. Who will say, even though he does not understand Christian Science, that this dream, rather than the dreamer, may not be mortal man? So we can't say that the dream is mortal man. Who can rationally say otherwise when the dream, again dream, leaves mortal man intact in body and thought, although the so-called dreamer is unconscious? I have again the question that is a question of consciousness. For right reasoning, how comes in the rightness of truth, for right reasoning, there should be but one fact. Now you go to the facts, no more to the dream stuff. There should be but one fact before the thought, namely spiritual existence. Do the five corporeal senses constitute men, or do the facts that are spiritually true constitute men? In reality, there is no other existence, since life cannot be united to its unlikeness, mortality. So wouldn't you feel that right through all these, what we said, four paragraphs, you had one common theme, subject, always asking about our state of consciousness and showing that it is a mortal state of consciousness, a sleep state of consciousness that testifies, and actually not the five physical senses. And they only testify always to something that is not factual, so that they can never, what we dream in our Night dreams and daydreams, they can never really show the factuality of what constitutes man. If we want to know the factuality of what constitutes man, we better have to reason from science, reasoning rightly. For right reasoning, we should have but the facts of existence before us. Yes? Isn't that easy and simple? We go further and we'll see if that dream question and sleep question and consciousness question goes on and on, or if something completely new comes now into the picture. Being is holiness, harmony, immortality. Apparently this is what constitutes man. It is already proved that the knowledge of this, even in small degree, will uplift the physical and moral standard of mortals, will increase longevity, will purify and elevate character. And you really ask yourself now, what has that to do with that whole question about the five physical senses? It doesn't quite seem to answer anything about it, except that it says there is apparently a being, a state of being of man that is holiness, harmony, immortality, and that a knowledge of this would really be quite a big help. That's all what it is says up to now. So we go on, line 11. Thus progress will finally destroy all error and bring immortality to light. Yeah? We are not yet quite sure what she really is driving at. She may only see that somehow she will feel that we should know the truth and therefore that this will lead us to our true status of being. 12. We know that the statement proved to be good must be correct. Yes, we have seen that the five physical senses never really state anything correct. So new thoughts are constantly obtaining the floor. I'm still wondering what's all about, really. Why does that answer our question? Does it have the dominant tone in it? These two contradictory theories, that matter is something, or that all is mind, will dispute the ground until one is acknowledged to be the victor. And suddenly I feel, she is really driving towards a very high goal, really to say, I have started out with the first paragraph saying that the five physical senses constitute, are really a mortal belief. So if I have the facts about mortal belief, namely one mind, that may constitute man, that may be the final answer to it. So I'm quite anxious to see how she goes on discussing his campaign. General Grant said, I propose to fight it out on this line. If it takes all summer, science says, all is mind and mind's idea. And I come right back to the first paragraph on mind, which says, the senses of mind are that mind alone has all faculties. Remember what she said? Has all faculties, perception and comprehension. Comes right back to say, why don't you drop the whole belief of the corporeal senses? Why don't you go to that which is the fact about the mortal belief, namely to the mind, and mind's idea. And the side note is mind one and all. Always when it fits me, I take the marginal heading. Yes. You must fight it out on this line, matter can afford you no aid. And then, the notion that mind and matter commingle. Huh? Suddenly you see, now she comes back to the corporeal senses. Huh? Mind and matter commingling, we have seen, that's the corporeal senses. We can have no other testimony of the corporeal senses than, unless we have matter and mind commingling. So suddenly we feel, oh, she has given us a whole paragraph, so to say, on the true answer, and first stating where the true answer is, and now shows how the true answer can be applied to her question. The notion that mind and matter commingle in the human illusion as to sin, sickness, and death must eventually submit to the science of mind. You see, suddenly you begin to realize, I see why she had that whole paragraph which I felt hadn't anything to do with the whole question. Or didn't you feel that that paragraph from 5 to 21 actually seemed to have nothing to do with that whole question if the five physical senses constitute man? It was just suddenly stating that if you have a higher thought and a progressive thought, that you will be better off. Well, that's a general statement, and that actually all is mind, and mind's idea, yes, that's fine. And somehow there we begin to feel there is that turning point, what do you call that thing where the door is hanged up? The hinge, yes. You see, there you get that hinge. Huh? And it suddenly says, oh, I see. She first has to establish the fact that actually mind and mind's idea are the only one, in order to show that mind and matter is nothing, huh? that is not the answer. That the notion that mind and matter commingle, and that must eventually submit to the signs of mind. So that the five physical senses must finally submit to the signs of mind, to mind that is all. All is mind, mind's idea. That is the answer to the whole question. And actually she says here, even in italics, God is mind, and God is infinite, hence all is mind. As if she would say, therefore, there is no room for a mind in matter. On this statement rests the science of being, and the principle of this science is divine, demonstrating harmony and immortality. Okay. The side note is scientific ultimatum, which is love. So we can see that just because we have been talking about marginal headings, we can see that the marginal heading above, mind one and all, was setting, so to say, the basis for the second one, namely that is the ultimatum, a scientific ultimatum, the next marginal heading. This is the answer, really, to the tone of love here, which says, all right, instead, in the place of mind and matter equal corporeal senses, have mind and mind's ideas. They testify alone to the true man. So the conservative theory, long believed, is that there are two factors, matter and mind, uniting. See, you have matter versus mind. But when they uniting on some impossible basis, can you hear the tone of love? It's impossible. The corporeal senses are impossible because they say mind and matter can cooperate. This theory would keep truth and error always at war. Victory would perch on neither banner. On the other hand, Christian Science speedily shows truth to be triumphant. To corporeal sense, the sun appears to rise and set, and the earth to stand still, but astronomical science contradicts this. Here you have again that thing that that's science versus senses, science versus senses, not soul versus senses. But astronomical science contradicts this and explains the solar system as working on a different plane. Quite good. Shows the corporeal senses are working on a completely different plane. They have nothing to do with that plane which says there is only mind and mind's idea. If we drop that high plane of mind and mind's idea and go back down to mind mixing up with matter, we are on a lower plane where the corporeal senses testify to error. All the evidence of physical sense and all the knowledge obtained from physical sense, must yield to science, to the immortal truth of all things. Now you say, well, where is love in it? Yes, there is. Everything is love in it. Because she said, what is the climax for the question of mind and matter? She says, mind and mind's idea, the science of mind, that's the climax. That's the allness. See, love is always, I'm all or nothing. Therefore, showing the climax is that we rise above mind and matter, to mind and mind's idea, and that is the higher plane, and on that higher plane, we really have only the immortal testimony. And all the knowledge came from the corporeal senses must yield to that plane. Yeah? Isn't that the story? The tone changed when there was no more sleeping, dreaming, consciousness, awakening. And there was no more a question of that. When you came to a final climax saying, now, what is actually the status of man? What constitutes man? Mind and mind's idea. There was no more a question, are you awake to it, or asleep on it, or dream about it, or anything. It's a factuality of saying, now, what constitutes man is mind and mind's idea. And if you have that plane of thought, you don't need any more another plane. Let's run quickly through those seven, just in a leisurely way, just to feel, can we find a true answer to that question which naturally everybody will ask? Everybody says, well, that's what the five physical senses tell me, that am I. That constitutes me. If the fair physical senses say that I have pain, well, then that constitutes me. Then I am a human being that has a lot of pain, that is weak, and I don't know what, and is inharmonious, and so on. So, is that true? Mrs. Eddy wants to know now, is that the fact? Can we rely on this fact, that the five physical senses actually constitute mortal men? And she has to disprove that. And instead of just answering no, as we may answer, say, don't be silly, that's not true. She reasons. She reasons it out. How does she reason it out? So she goes to mind and says, look here, you know, those five corporeal senses are actually not something that exists. They are a mortal belief. The true senses that exist are really mind's senses, because mind has all the senses there are, namely the sense of perception, comprehension of all faculties and possibilities of, of perception and comprehension. These are mind, capital M, that has actually sense. And that's not belief, that's mind. All right. Then she says, can you see that therefore there is a way out? Out of that belief. Therefore it would only depend that if you put less mind into matter, the better you will be off, just like the lobster. If the lobster doesn't think very much, he's quite well off. If he loses a limb, it will be restored. It cannot touch man. So, she says, do that too. See that the less you believe that there is mind in matter, the better your manhood, the better you are. When she comes to soul, she says, you know, you are the better, because, you know, those five physical senses just always lie. They defraud you. They are a fraud. They lie. They deceive you. They never tell you the truth. So don't believe it. Therefore, the less you believe them, the better off you are. What is man? What is man? When are you true man? The less you believe them, more you are independent of the five physical senses. Oh yes, you say. Oh, then would that mean that it is the five physical senses that constantly give us trouble? And Mrs. Eddy says, exactly. The five physical senses are that bring always disharmony, inharmony, discord. And on the other side, in the measure that you separate yourself from the five physical senses, the less you take them into consideration, the more harmonious you are. Oh yes, do you say? Then you would say, then actually the five physical senses are not really a good friend of me, aren't they? Yes, Mrs. Eddy says, what they want to do is to kill you. The five physical senses have one aim, to annihilate man. And so Mrs. Eddy would say, therefore, you must get another sense than the physical sense. You must get that immortal sense of being, and then you will not be annihilated. Oh, yes, but where do I get that immortal sense of being? Do I get it when I'm awake with my consciousness? Do I get it when I'm asleep, when I dream? What is better? So Mrs. Eddy says, you know, all kinds of human consciousness, deep consciousness, sleep consciousness, mesmeric consciousness, all that is not true. All that does not show you the true man. What you actually have to do is to wake up of that dream, of the daydream and of the sleep dream, and wake up to what? How can you have a true consciousness? He says, go out from God. And going out from God, you find the true consciousness, the facts of being. Oh, yes. Well, that's truth. And you come to love and say, therefore, oh, then actually I really could replace that whole plane of the testimony of the corporeal sense. Just put it away as nothing and say, actually, what I have to entertain is only mind's idea. Therefore, if I culture the science of mind with mind and mind's idea and see that all there is mind and mind's idea, then I'm living and moving on that plane which is the reality of man. And she says, now you got it. And you got it too now. Yes. So, the five corporeal senses do not constitute man. Mind and mind's idea, they constitute men. Okay, so tonight we take the next text.